88 Triple E listening.
JD808 monitoring. Copy you, GPR. GPR, statewide 1.
WAVD mobile.
KFNS portable.
I have an issue if my mic audio is fluctuating, or is it on always receive? So if anybody else is out there, please chime in. KFNS.
Can you hear me now?
KFNS. Yeah, Dave, go ahead. What'd you hear?
Well, I have the scanner running in the background upstairs, and you were a little bit overdriven then. You seem to be fine now, though.
All right, well, Wally said I was dripping, and it came, then it got lower, so, and I'm pretty sure I'm talking in the same voice that consistently, so I'm going to just talk for a little bit here and see if you notice any variation in the thing. This is the Anytone 578, and I just threw it in the car as a temporary thing. Normally it's at home, and I use it mostly for monitoring, so I haven't had much testing with the transmission of DMR signals on this. So go ahead, Dave, how did it sound?
Sounded pretty good here. I'm on that Connect Systems radio, HC, and it came through pretty good over here. Yeah, I know that 578, you might have to, like, arm's length the microphone. That thing is really sensitive.
Okay, so Wally, what did you hear? Did you hear fluctuation or steady?
So you keep getting louder and louder and louder, and I'm not sure if it's on my end or your end.
Well, if what Dave says is correct, then it must be on your end, because he said it sounded steady on his end.
Let me take a look here. Okay, yeah, I was in for a while. I'm going to see if I can turn off my RX leveling on the panel.
Oh, that could probably do it if you have automated gain control or something going on. All right, well, I'm waiting where I'm going, so I'm checking out. Catch you later. KAPR. Dave?
Yeah, I'm back monitoring on the scanner here. And it seems like I'm really quiet. Anyway, this is a different radio, but yeah, it's DMR. It's fun. I'm going to go back to my 890. But
KEAWUO.
Afternoon, John. NHWRO.
Good afternoon. Just kind of monitoring that last little bit there. And Wally, I heard it a little bit too, so, but I know you have pretty much the same settings in mind as yours. So, and then Dave, you did sound a little quiet to me too, but we'll send it back to Tim. How are you doing today?
Good, John. Yeah, I was going to mention over here in Richmond at the base, I didn't hear that Phil was about right. And Dave, maybe slightly soft, but I do not have any auto leveling here. I don't know if Dave's there, but if so, go ahead. Or Wally.
I had intelligent audio, whatever intelligent audio is, turned on. I was able to turn that off. I don't know. It's been a minute since I looked at this code plug, because this still has Dave's old call sign in it. So I'll probably have to take this one to the bench and see what settings I've got.
WEAP.
It's Eric. Just wanted to see what I sounded like. KFAS.
Good afternoon. Everybody sounds about the same. Dave was just slightly less than everybody else, but everybody else sounded pretty much the same on my end.
Yeah, interestingly, Wally, I think that intelligent audio is the one that Ben K-E-A-M-W-W, I think his call is, was saying, will cause that loud and quiet where it's trying to adjust based on your ambient background noise. And it's on mine as well. So I'm going to flip that off and see if that fixes it. But
we'll send it back to Dave, or I guess Tim, and then Dave, and then Wally, and then whoever else is in there.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, interesting. I think I remember that conversation, John, with Ben. So if you guys are testing, I'll do a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and send it over to Dave.
All right, I bumped my audio gain up to, well, that's a little louder. Is this too loud? Who's next? Go ahead, Eric.
W-A-D-A-P. Nope, you sound good right there, Dave, and that. You're not too loud. You're right up there with just about everybody else.
Hank turned off my intelligent audio. So, the question is, if you turn off the intelligent audio, does that mean it's dumb audio? Jim?
Fine, we keep on all changing our setting. So, if I go in the car, I bet you I have to turn my mic gain down because I'll be shouting. So, I don't know. I'll try to stay at the same volume every time I talk, I guess.
Well, so far, you sound a lot better, and then I never did hear from Tim, but Wally, I sort of feel like the intelligent audio is a misnomer, because when it's on, it seems to behave dumb, but when it's off, then it's just, you know, the volume is what it is, and it's not trying to adjust based on, you know, your environment, which I think is, you know, what we want. So I think we have intelligent audio working now with it off, if that makes sense. We'll send it back to Wally, and then we'll try Tim again.
Yeah, well, all of my games, I left that alone. I could check that box on and off. The RX audio left only, and I could not check that. You know, I think it depends what you tell it you can do and not do. But it did have the intelligent audio button on the panel, and so I turned that off. Yeah, I think you're right. Intelligent audio is dumb audio. Maybe that's what it is, or I don't know. Maybe it's where your hand is on the microphone or something like that. But, yeah, you just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And I go, oh, my gosh. And I kept turning it down almost to where it was zero. But I just couldn't figure out if it was on his end or my end. So apparently it was on my end. Tim, are you back?
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, I guess my last one didn't go through. I did a count for you guys. Everybody sounds level to me over here in Richmond right now. I'll send it to Eric and then to Dave.
Very good. Actually, I was monitoring on two different radios on 9600 and I have another DMR over here. And everyone was roughly the same on both radios. So I think it's good, but I agree with Dave, though. There is a difference in the way people talk when they're driving. There's a lot of ambient background noise, and people tend to talk louder, so maybe put it at +3 at home and +1 or 0 when you're in the car, I guess, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably do, but all right, I'm good with what I got here. I just wanted to chime in about Phil. Eric's trying to say, who cares on the radio. All right, I'm going to step out. I got to finish my lunch stuff here. And everybody have a good day. KF8S. Over to, I guess, Wally.
Yeah, it seemed to have fixed it on my end. They're all fairly close now, and I'm not having to reach down and constantly change the things. So I'm going to have to look at my code plugs. Going to make up for people and make sure that we've got the intelligent audio on chat. I'm wondering if that's what's going on with RC Weiss radio. Intelligent audio isn't so intelligent. And I do remember that conversation where Ben said to turn it off. So that makes sense. John, WABD.
Yeah, what you were describing is exactly the behavior the R7 had. It was why I wanted to upgrade the firmware, because it was awful, you know. It would just be sitting there, and the volume would be at a set level that was reasonable for the office. And then all of a sudden, you know, something would happen, and it would just start blaring, and it would be so loud. And, you know, it's just disruptive to the other people in the office here. And so I haven't noticed it, you know, I just turned it off, but I haven't noticed it that much since I got the radio back. But I was noticing it with Phil. And so it had me looking, and sure enough, I found that it was on. So I flipped it off, and I guess I'll keep an eye out for it and see if I hear it anymore. But yeah, that's a really annoying feature that it has, where it just decides, I'm going to turn the volume all the way up. back to Tim. This is KE8WUL.
I should at this point say something about you should have bought a Bofang, but I won't do that to you, John, or Wally, or Eric. I'm going to be out, guys. I'll jump out right now. N8WRO, I'll be listening out. Over to Eric. Maybe Wally then, I guess?
Yeah, that's fine. So anyways, if I ever get a DMR repeater, I'm going to have to sign an affidavit that says no Bofangs. So... John,
yeah, we'll see if this fixes the audio issues before I start thinking about getting a Bofang. I have my suspicions that is problem solved right there. So, and that'll be nice because that is a pretty annoying thing. And I'm glad you got to experience it, Wally, because it's real curious when the radio just starts shouting at you out of nowhere. I thought the radio was broken. And, I don't know who gets it next. Eric, we'll get it to you, see if you came back. And if no Eric, then Wally.
No Eric. Yeah. Well, we'll get your cold plug, because I think they turned off your RX leveling. So... probably turn that back on and then turn off the intelligent audio. That might be a choice. And I think you can do that from the menu, almost positive. If not, I'll just change the things on and set it back to you, and you could push it back into your phone. And I still got your charger. Never even touched it. All the wires are still wrapped up. I noticed this morning because I was going to grab a charger for this trip. For some reason, the highway smells like marijuana. I don't know what that's all about. John.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we did touch base on the charger. Basically said you could keep it because Anthony gave me two other ones. So it's all yours, sir. Thank you. Appreciate all the hard work and all that. The radio works like a charm.
The ones he gave you, are they impressed?
Yeah, you gave me two. I got one on my desk here at work and one at home, and it's just kind of nice because I can, you know, I don't have to, like, be so vigilant about putting it on a charger at home, although I am pretty vigilant about that. But I got two of them. They're both authentic Impress chargers. They're not Impress 2. I'm not sure if DMR has that, but they are Impress, so I think they'll work.
I'm in Detroit, but I'm still on Mount Clemens, so if I lose it, yell at me and, oh, crap, I'm going to run into a traffic jam. You know how to recondition the battery with the Impress charger, don't you?
Yeah, you were telling me that I can drop it in the charger and then pick it up and then drop it back in, and it'll go yellow and then condition it. However, I tried that. it didn't seem to work. Maybe the radio was on. I've noticed it's weird. The APX seems like it doesn't mind most of the time charging while it's on, but it seems like the DMR does not like it. And I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a shot with it off one of these days.
Yeah, just do it at night, and then I'd let go. Yeah, there's a lot of articles on different Motorola forums about leaving the radio on while it's in the charger. So... sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but when I recondition it, I do turn it off because I know it runs the battery down and brings it up and runs it down and brings it up and does all sorts of magical things. I'll be right back. I'm going to try to find the Detroit channel on this radio. It took it a minute, but it found it. Put it in Rome mode. IP Connect found the Detroit, so this should be better. WAB.
Yeah, you were coming in pretty good before, but yeah, you might have been getting close to the end of your rope, but so far, so good. Seem to be coming in just fine, and I haven't heard any crazy audio levels, so that's always a plus.
All right. When I get back, we can look at that radio, or you can look at it and see if the RX leveling stuff is turned off. If it is, you could probably turn that back on.
I think that's the thing that I bought an entitlement for, and then we weren't able to push onto the radio because it was Asian, if I remember correctly. So I might not have that option, but with the intelligent audio turned off, it does seem to be quite a bit better. But yeah, you might know more on that than I do.
Yeah, that's right. The licensing server wouldn't let us push it because it said it was out of whatever, out of area, out of something. Remember, he gave me back the hair code. So, does this have to find some Asian guy to do it?
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I don't know if they can do that remotely, but that would be kind of cool. It's not the end of the world. I think it's 10 times better than it was, and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, well, it fixed mine, too. And I must have this go plug halfway right. Like I said, this was one of the first Wally experiments. And because I don't drive this truck that often, I only drive it when I go on trips, so I really don't pay too much attention to this radio.
Gotcha, yeah. Got to give it some love. That's the problem with having the infinite amount of radios all over the place and in multiple different vehicles is it gets to be fun trying to keep everything in sync and up to date. And yeah, so it's kind of nice to have like one radio type and then you can just push the same code plug to everything. But it's never going to be that easy.
Well, I got some homework to do and make sure that is tagged on in the rest of the projects that I did. Because if it is, Sean, I got to get some radios back from you. Other than that, not too much. So I'll let you go. Pay attention a little bit here in the road. Talk to the wife, see if she'll talk back to me. So, yeah, audio's fixed. Thank you. I'm sure everything worked out good for all of us. WSBD, clear, period, again.
All right. Well, have a good day, and don't work too hard out there. And we'll talk again soon. KEAWUO.
Hey, John, you still there? WDD. I just had a brain fart.
Si, senor. I am still here. KEAWUO. Go ahead.
Now, this intelligent audio thing, okay, it's listening for noises. So my guess is it's listening for noises through the microphone. Okay, so when I had it turned on, okay, I had the microphone in my hand facing towards the radio. Phil's talking. It picks up Phil talking as background noise, and it keeps getting louder and louder and louder because it thinks what I'm hearing from audio from the speaker through the microphone, so it's thinking that that's background noise. I wonder where this thing gets its intelligence from. Is it using the microphone on the radio? So if you hold the microphone away from the radio or put your hand over it or something so it doesn't hear it, would that work? I just was wondering if it's not, you know, the person you're receiving isn't considered background noise and it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder because it just kept going up and up and up and up. And I'm wondering if there's another setting that I'm missing here.
The way I hear it, the way I interpreted it is, you know, it could be picking up. I think it's smart enough to not trick itself into thinking, you know, like when Phil's talking, I think it's smart enough that it's not going to keep increasing the audio because it's hearing Phil. I think what it's doing is it's hearing the ambient, like, background noise of your truck as you're driving. So maybe you're on a louder part of the road, and so it was trying to compensate for the road noise. Or maybe a window was rolled down just slightly. Or maybe somebody was talking in the background, or, you know, there was various other noises happening. And so it tries to compensate for the ambient noise in your environment. And I think the idea is, like, you know, if you're standing next to a running fire truck, that truck would be really loud, so it boosts up the audio while you're next to that truck. But as you walk away, you know, then it's going to tamper it down to a, a more reasonable level as you get further away from the background noise. That's my interpretation of it. I don't think it has anything really per se to do with holding the microphone, because mine just sits on my desk. And I'm not holding it, you know, muffling a microphone or doing anything like that. It's just listening to, like, the machine in the background, you know, making a lot of noise. And so it's trying to compensate for the, you know, the shop environment and, you know, people come in and open up doors or airlines are going off. And so all kinds of various different things it hears in my environment are causing it to go, you know, haywire. So that's my interpretation of it, less so of, like, what it's actually receiving, more of what it hears in the background. But I'm not an expert, so over to you.
Neither am I, but I guess one other question. Do you have an external mic on yours at all times, or do you just leave it as just a handy talkie?
I always have the mic on mine. I don't really like the way the radio speaker sounds. To me, it's a little bit, maybe I just got used to the remote speaker mic, but yeah, I find that when I take the remote speaker mic off, it's not as clear of audio as, like, what I get out of this remote speaker mic, so I've always got mine on.
Okay. All right, I'll do some research on this, but, yeah, you would think that the word intelligent, it would be smart enough to know that it's hearing its own voice, but, hey, what do we know? All right, I'll talk on you later. God baby.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to say it's intelligent to, like, hear the ambient environment noise, and it'll compensate for it, and not so much, you know, the received audio. But I'm no expert, so let me know what you find out. KDAWUL.
Next time we hear Ben, we'll ask him. All right, later. WABD.
NAWRO, how far did you get so far, Wally?
Exit 152. And I found out some other things. I'll talk to you on it. He asked about different talk groups, so I learned something today.
All right, copy that. Sounds good. Any range testing on the other one, or not right now?
Call you right back.
Understood. NAWRO.
Hey, BN1.
This is Kilo Echo 2, Bravo November Yankee, monitoring.
What's up, Devin? It's John, KEAWUO.
Hey, John, what's happening? Just hoping I'd see you on here.
Yeah, I just snuck in. I was, you know, I always monitor all day on the radio here, but I kind of come in and out of the office routinely throughout the day, so if you reach out and I don't hear you, try again, you know, 20 minutes later, and there's a good chance I will. But what's new and exciting with you?
Well, I am currently driving back home to Pontiac, down 75. My coverage might be a little spotty because I'm operating a portable inside of a vehicle, so might have some mixed results there, but you said some work to do at a tower site in Pontiac all day, so looking forward to getting a couple of blocks in.
Gotcha. It's kind of a cold, windy, miserable day to be out there on a tower site. So you guys, you don't do that all year. I mean, I guess maybe you work out of like buildings and whatnot at the tower sites, but hopefully you're not having a, you know, send a guy up on a tower or anything like that this time of year. I suppose you could do it, but it'd be pretty brutal.
Thankfully, I was down inside of a little jacked, so I was inside for the most part, you know, had a breeze coming through the door, but wasn't too bad. There's another guy up on the tower working on some cellular stuff. Felt bad for him, but I was nice and warm inside the radio room.
Yeah, I bet. That's where I'd want to be. Not a good day to be up on the tower. But I guess he dressed for it, and so hopefully it all went well for him. I don't envy the guys that have to climb these towers. I think it would be fun, but only on nice days. As a kid, I climbed a tower that I probably shouldn't have, and I had fun. But it was nice, you know. It was like July, and it was like 75 degrees, and it was fun. But I don't know. I couldn't imagine doing it under some of the conditions that you guys probably likely have to from time to time. But anything fun and exciting happening out there? Just kind of routine work or what?
We had a few Trump sites down, so I had to get out there and troubleshoot with someone remotely. So I had my computer plugged up and was running through some pinging of IP addresses. It turns out it was an ISP issue, so the sites properly. People weren't able to use their radios, and once we figured out there was an ISP issue, the ISP was able to fix it. It was a routing issue on their end. They were able to fix it, and we got the trunking system back up. So it was just a little tedious, you know, messing with some cables and stuff, running some pings on a laptop, but nothing too crazy.
All right. Well, very interesting. I have a ton of questions on that. I'm kind of curious what who you're dealing with trunking for in the area. But I got a person just walked in my office. I'm going to step aside here for just a quick minute, and I'll throw out my call when I'm all set. So hang tight for 1 second. KEAWU. KE2BNY from KEAWU. Still out there, though? KE2BNY from KEAWU. Still out there, though?
Yeah, actually, I just made it home. So I'm on my base station. Hopefully I'm getting a good signal through this thing. KE2BNY.
Yeah, you're coming in fine. So far, so good. Yeah, sorry about that. I had someone pop in the office here, and we had to go over a couple of tools that are giving us trouble. So you were out at the trunking sites and having fun out there. You got time to talk, or are you kind of in for the night, you think?
Yeah, I've got some time to talk, just settling down. I was out at the trunking sites, they belong to us. They belong to the company I work for. The company that had been purchased previously by the company I work for now owned all these. They don't own the actual tower sites, but they own all the equipment, the trunking system. And we just keep it going, maintain it as best as we can, despite its old age.
Nice. What kind of trunking? Is it DMR? I'm thinking it's DMR, but I guess it could have been P25 as well.
Yeah, it's DMR. It's actually, if you're curious at all, it's a system called Connect Plus. I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Motorola's DMR trunking standards. But it's essentially their take on wide area trunking. You know, it's from how it's been explained to me, it's relatively similar to P25 with how it works. You have a trunking controller at every site. There's a control channel, and you know, all of your voice and if you need them, you know, data repeaters and what have you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really with more of, you know, obviously I am on a R7, but not some, like I've heard of the trunking and all that. I know it did it, but I wouldn't say that I'm well-versed in it. I probably know P25 trunking more than I do definitely DMR. I've kind of played around with P25 a bit, but nothing really on the DMR side. So, but that's pretty cool. We would love to get a trunking DMR system here one of these days. So we'll have to talk.
Yeah. This system is pretty old. It's probably back from the early 2000s. You know, a lot of our equipment, a lot of MTRs and stuff. I have to get more into the weeds maybe some other time, because there's a lot to the system and how it works, but it tends to use a lot of legacy equipment, things like R7s equipment. It cannot be licensed for it, nor can it even do the wide area trunking that we're using. So it's we're kind of limited, unless our company went and purchased Capacity Max, which.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I mean, that's kind of cool too. You know, it's cool to know that there is some legacy DMR trunking. You know, because that's probably, and I could be naive here, but probably a little easier to afford. but I guess if it doesn't play nice with all others, then that's probably a little bit of a fun nuance. But yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into some of that. And kind of context clues, it looks like the Connect Plus is maybe the legacy DMR trunking, and the, I forget what the other one was, you mentioned Capacity Plus or something. That's the newer version of DMR trunking. Is that what I'm gathering?
We use Link Capacity Plus, which is what I would suggest if someone was like, hey, I want to set up a ham trunking system. My immediate thought would be a Link Capacity Plus. But there's limitations to all of it. Capacity Plus is pretty good. I like Capacity Plus.
Gotcha, okay. Well, I like it too then. yeah, pretty cool. You are coming in a little high in the RSSI from time to time. I'm losing a little bit of your signal, but I'm picking up 90% of what you're saying. For the most part, you came in well. There was one where you came in at 120.9, but for the most part, you're getting in there still. But yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I don't know. I think a DMR trunking system would be pretty neat. I wonder if the CMN guys will ever switch over all their to trunking. I'm assuming they're listening, and I'm assuming no, but I'm be curious to hear what the drawbacks of going trunking versus, you know, the kind of the conventional side. Probably a lot more complicated, and DMR is pretty complicated to start with, so I guess there's that.
Thank you for the signal report. I got to get a better spot for my antenna. It's not in a very good spot right now, so that's probably that's probably why I'm having some issues. But in the meantime, this is what I got, so I'll try to use it as best as I can. I don't know. There could be quite a bit to the trunking stuff. If there's ever a conversation, you know, to be had, I'd love to be a part of the project. You know, I'd love to try to throw my input in there and see what I can, see what I can provide.
Yeah, that would be cool. I think that would be fun to be a part of that project, or just anything, you know. It's fun just kind of getting out, getting your feet wet, and going out to the sites is pretty cool. There's a lot to learn out there. There's a lot of people to learn from, a lot of brilliant minds out there, and it's kind of cool when everybody kind of puts their heads together and to see what we end up with. And then, you know, on top of all of the, you know, collaboration, you walk away with an awesome resource. So it's definitely a cool thing. Definitely thankful.
I kind of lost you there at the end. I missed the final part of your transmission. Are you portable right now? KEQ BNY.
No, I'm still at the office. Normally I get out pretty good. I might have been moving the radio around too much, but I do see that my RSSI was awful. But yeah, I was just saying it's cool when everybody gets together and you know, collaborates like that, and then at the end of the day, you end up with an awesome resource. And we're kind of privileged to have the statewide system and to be able to talk on DMR radios from inside the shop at work and at home and, you know, just anywhere really in the state. And so it's pretty cool. So hopefully I'm getting.
Yeah, that time that was a lot better. The transmission was good. It was like the final drop off. The final bit of it just ended up dropping off. It was kind of weird. When I looked into the system, you know, when I saw their, you know, coverage happen and everything, I was impressed. I didn't realize that the network was so extensive. It kind of puts some of the states, you know, well, not the states, but, you know, some of the amateur P25 stuff to shame. I was like, wow, that's a lot of coverage compared to, you know, some of the P25 sites for ham.
Yeah, I agree. I'm amazed at the coverage that they have put together for the state, because it covers most of the southern end of the state and a good portion of the northern, like the northeast portion of the state, at least the lower mid, you know. But I imagine it's just a matter of time before they get something up in Traverse City and Cadillac and, you know, maybe in the southern areas of the state as well. But yeah, I would love it if they would do that with P25. I don't know. I think DMR is a little bit, you know, cost of entry more friendly. You know, you can get a DM32 for, well, I don't know, $50-$100 versus to get onto P25. It's quite a bit more expensive. But it's kind of what I like about P25, though, too, is, you know, I don't know, it's just a little bit more exclusive, and that's sometimes kind of nice.
DMR has gotten pretty popular. From the looks of it, at least. I mean, analog still seems to be. I think DMR serves a lot of people well. The price considered. I mean, the radios are really good. You can buy some real high quality radios. I mean, the 6550s, you can get them in an auction for $100 and.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Your last signal dropped out. I heard you say you don't hear a lot of hams talk about P25, and then I didn't hear anything else. But you're looking at the last herd. You're coming in with pretty decent RSSI, so that's curious. It seems like it's hearing you fairly well sometimes, but still dropping out. I don't know. It's weird. You have a RSSI of -87 but a 21.1% loss. I don't know how that happens. I mean, loss so high with a good RSSI. So that's, I'm curious. I'm not sure what would cause that. Hey, EAWUO. Not sure if you're still out there, Devin, but if you wanted to try P25, I'm monitoring over there as well. EAWUO. Okay, yeah, you're coming in real well so far. Yeah, real well. No loss, reasonable RSSI, so looks good so far.
For reference, I my mobile is on a lower, it's kind of downstairs, and the mobile's hooked up to a mag mount that has a very poor excuse of a ground plane. It is not ground planeless, unfortunately, but I was kind of playing with it. It works fine for receive. I kind of figured it wasn't going to work well for transmit, but when I sparked a conversation with you, I thought, well, now's a good time to try it out. And really, it's not not the best. It seems to be.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, like, intermittently just fine and intermittently not so much. yeah, curious. Yeah, I had to look it up because I didn't really understand how you could have a good RSSI but not, you know, but then have a lot of loss. And there's a few common causes, but yeah, that was interesting. So where were we? I lost myself.
Oh man. I know we talked about trunking. we were talking about the coverage of some of these systems. DMR being more common now than it was before, and how P25 is a bit more exclusive.
Yeah, that's where we were. it's pretty awesome having the coverage that the DMR has, you know, being able to get in all across the state. I think earlier you said that analog was still kind of king, and I think I slowly am starting to see that. I'm wondering about, like, P25, you know, in like, public safety, switching over to cellular towers, because I'm seeing and hearing rumblings of that. Where instead of using, the typical infrastructure that we are used to for P25 trunking and whatnot, it seems like they're starting to potentially entertain going over to radios that have cellular connections that connect to the local cellular towers, which would be interesting. Kind of looking like the end of an era as far as that goes, but maybe the beginning of an era of, you know, a different type of radio, which, you know, it's kind of like a POC radio. I don't know how I feel about all that yet. Have you played with the Silva stuff when you were in the military or after? Have you seen the recent Motorola acquisition of Silva systems?
Yeah, actually, I carried a Silva radio as a backup as part of our PACE plan. We were still using low-band VHF for our SINGARs. We were using SINGARs radios for our, communication. I did have a Silva radio on one of my packs. Used it though. I understand them quite well. It reminds me of the Wave Relay MPU5s. It's essentially a mesh radio, And, I mean, obviously the closest thing that any of us have is probably, like, Meshtastic or something. I don't know if you've ever gotten to play with that. That's a fun little thing to play with. Yeah, kind of curious about... Sorry, I got hit with the timeout timer. I'm kind of curious about the Switch. I kind of question whether something like that would happen anytime soon, because Motorola just released a pretty new P25 stack. I think Motorola's got too much money in the game to start giving out P25 yet.
Yeah, I hope so, because I kind of like the surplus, you know, that trickles down to the hams, and, you know, it's kind of nice to have that, you know, to kind of depend on. So, yeah, hopefully they don't switch over to, you know, cellular stuff quite yet. But at the same time, you know, I guess that would be kind of cool to get some of that if we were able to, you know, also connect to cellular with it, like a POC radio. But yeah, I have played with Meshtastic. I have not fallen in love with it yet, but I see some of the potential for it. It just doesn't seem like it's quite there yet. But that Silva stuff looks really cool to me. I'm a little worried about Motorola buying it, because you know, they can take something that's already really expensive and kind of I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, I don't know, Motorola has a way of you know, making things like that exclusive and hard to obtain, and that wasn't the case historically, and that was something that you could acquire. But they're being used pretty heavily from what I understand nowadays, especially in, like, Ukraine and stuff like that. And I think they'd be neat little toys, and I think they tie into the digital age. And so I do see that as kind of a future of radio. But, yeah, I think I would have had a lot of fun playing with some of the toys you got to play with, like you you mentioned the Syngars radio. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, the Syngar radios are excuse me. They're pretty aged. They still work well. They provide some good coverage, you know, because of that low band VHF, it's able to curve ever so slightly around the earth. But you know, they do some frequency hopping earth. You're not going to find a...
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of gathering. I think there's a lot of new Wi-Fi network related, you know, what do you call it? I don't want to say hotspot. It's like I don't know. I'll call it a node for now, for lack of the correct term, but I'm seeing a lot of these, like, the cradle points and things like that that do the mesh, you know, and I think there's a really cool avenue that you know, they're starting to touch on and use. And I think that they cover a larger spectrum, you know. I think, like you talked about, like you were using them as part of your PACE plan. Because I think they cover a large swath of band, and it seems like on a multimedia style approach, they're like one of the better options out there. And then they're wearable, you know, whereas like a cradle point, I still wish I could think of the word, but the cradle point node, you know, is a little less wearable, but it still does essentially the same job. But I think those are pretty cool. I'd like to see that. Have you investigated any of, like, the MI6 network and seen any of that that they have on the WACMN, you know, statewide system? Because it's kind of getting there. A little different, but it's still very cool, and I see a lot of potential in it.
I don't think so. I'll have to take a look at that. I don't know if that's their MaxBit network, but that's kind of what these radios are. Think of it as a wearable Wi-Fi router. They don't cover. There's a few things that people get kind of mixed up on. They see that these radios act as handheld radios. These radios don't actually have a push.
Yeah, it's definitely probably overkill for most, for what pretty much any ham is really looking for. I see a little bit of a potential in, like, emergency management for it, but you know, it's something that could be handled just as easily, like you're saying, with a mesh Wi-Fi network. And so, yeah, you're right. And I am kind of aware of the, you know, of them and the configurations and, you know, needing the downleads and all that. And it does all get very expensive. But it's what, I don't know, they're just kind of neat to me in the, like, you know, to see the way things are going, you know, and that was, I guess, what I'm getting at is it's an interesting development in the way information is piped around the battlefield and, you know, or the field in general. So I thought that was neat. And then you're correct, the MI6 is a microwave network. And so you hit the nail on the head. But, yeah, there's quite a nice, robust MI6 network as well across the state of Michigan. Right now it's a lot of point-to-point. Certain areas have the point-to-multipoint, but in here, Macomb County, we don't quite have that yet.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to come and see some of this equipment. I'm interested in seeing. I don't know if the MI5 network is strictly like Motorola IPsy Connect or if it's different brands tied together. And I don't know. I'll have to look at that MI6 stuff. That sounds pretty cool too. I'd definitely like to see some of it. I'll try to visit what they got going on. You know, seems to be working pretty well so far.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely have some nice infrastructure, and it has some excellent coverage, for sure. It's like most of us don't even need mobile DMRs, you know. I've been getting by for a long time with just a HT for a DMR, and I don't usually have any trouble getting in. Occasionally I do here at work. It's probably one of the most, you know, persnickety spots, but it works 90% of the time, every time. but yeah, I don't know. They do have a nice setup. I'm not 100% sure, you know, all the inner workings of, you know, how they're connecting everything. I know they have a few data centers where they have, you know, bridges and, you know, things that kind of tie everything together. But exactly how they're doing that, I either forget or just don't know. I might have been told at some point, but not everything sticks. But yeah, I don't know. We would, you know, I think we would love to have you as ARPSC, you might get a little bit of exposure, maybe not to the CMN stuff, but to more of the local Macomb County stuff, potentially, but I can't make any promises. I am not the person to do that.
That is perfectly fine. I don't need any promises. I just felt to be a guy that's it's curious. It's pretty cool. It's cool to see what guys are getting out there and doing. You know, it's it's not common in some other places, and
yeah, for sure. When I first got into ham radio, I kind of quickly learned about, you know, the local, mainly I learned about like the K8 FBI linked network, and I thought that was really cool with it being all linked. And then later on I learned, you know, that that was connected to MI1, and I thought that was really cool. But it didn't have the coverage that, like, me and my friends were looking for some of the areas we were at. At least I didn't think at the time. But then we learned about the GMRS, and we were really impressed with, you know, the state's GMRS linked system as well. So I don't know that that's there anymore, but it's pretty cool, you know, to have the linked systems. And then as far as, you know, once I learned about the DMR, you know, that one took the cake. You know, that one just covers everywhere and quite well. And I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, it's definitely got the biggest, you know, linking award for the most sites and the most coverage for the state. So aside from the MSPSC system, that one wins for sure. But this is a close second place.
Yeah, this is definitely second place to MPSCS. yeah, I just recently saw coverage for MPSCS, and I've been able to do across the state. I'm glad someone said, hey, we need to take this seriously. You know, I see from some other vendors, you know, other vendors, you see how P25 works in the states, and it's kind of like, man, dude, I don't know that I would feel that comfortable as an officer, you know, it doesn't feel as safe, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard from Sean, you know, I know you've talked to him before, W8FU, he told me a little bit of the history of, you know, the MSPSC system and, you know, it growing in the area, and just kind of hearing about how it all came to be is really fascinating. It's really, really neat, and to hear kind of like, you know, what they wanted was, you know, countywide coverage for a handheld, you know, anywhere in the county, potentially also inside buildings, you know, which makes sense because, you know, like you're saying, as an office, when it comes time to keep that mic, you know, you want it to work. And so having the coverage that that the MS, I would love to see the site map you saw that showed their coverage. But I would imagine that kind of thing would probably, you know, maybe you want to be a little bit protected, especially if there's any areas that aren't covered. But yeah, I don't know. That's pretty cool. That would be cool to see. And yeah, there's a lot of history to the whole system, and it's a very complicated one, and it's getting more and more complicated, it sounds like, as time goes on, and it's kind of slowly rolling into the encryption, and so yeah, it's nice to have a DMR playground where we don't have to deal with all that, I guess.
Yeah, thankfully from the Motorola side, I can't speak for other DMR vendors, but from the Motorola side, it just, in my opinion, it's not all that complicated at the end of the day. You know, things like encryption and stuff, it's handled on the side. Repeaters don't really care as long as they're set to, you know, like when we program them, we usually just set them to enhanced encryption anyways. Moto Turbo pretty straightforward for the most part. I do appreciate its simplicity at times. It's, you know, obviously when you start adding like dispatch consoles, things start to get a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, depending on how you interpret that, you know, I think for the most part, like when you program a trunking radio, if you know what to put into it, you know, then that's not terribly complicated. I think I could teach I'm sure someone could teach me how to do it if I don't already kind of know roughly how to do it. But I think where it gets complicated is with, like, you know, each county needing its own key and then having the interoperability between all the counties, you know, protecting the key, the provisioning of the radios and the way everything is kind of doled out over the state, the IDs of each radio so that it's, you know, ID'd in a way that is meaningful. And I think it can get pretty complicated in the, you know, execution of the plan, you know, but I suppose the infrastructure itself and, you know, the underlying parts, maybe not, but I think to some degree it's still probably pretty complicated with you know, networking the different devices together and satisfying the power needs that are needed and getting generators. And, you know, I think the system is probably pretty robust, and to make it that way probably gets complicated. But then, you know, like, to be fair, you know, a APX code plug, it's not simple. You know, it's not chirp. So it's not undigestible either. But to say it's not complicated, I think, might go a little too far. but what do I know?
Oh no, I'm absolutely complicated. I remember the first time I looked at an Apex code, just about crap my pants. they are absolutely complicated. The DMR side of it is, in my opinion, it's not too bad. It's relatively controllable. It's pretty easy to get the hang of it. I've noticed that, you know, Moto Turbo, it's pretty easy to show people how to do all the, you know, DMR programming from the networking side of it from the fixed network side of it and the portable side of it.
Nice. I wonder how expensive, you know, like kind of a modern day single site DMR trunking site would cost infrastructure wise. Cause I think that would be fun to learn on and to play with. But I have no idea what that would cost. I know it gets expensive.
I'd be happy to, you know, show the reason
for me than anything, but I just can't. Why they would lump those two things together, why they need to be, you know, lumped together. But it's really cumbersome to me, like, when I'm looking through my contacts list to see if, you know, a certain person is in there. There's just a ton of stuff in there, and it's like, it's just a junk drawer of information, and I just don't. So if you have any insight on that, that would be hugely valuable.
I totally lost you there. I heard the last bit of it. I tried to key up because I thought you'd finished the transmission, but it's like it dropped off the for some reason. I kind of missed your transmission. I apologize.
Yeah, no worries. Hopefully I'm coming in better now. I think I was holding the radio. I get a little too into the discussion, and I do things without realizing that I'm moving the radio around, and I don't know. I guess I'm just weird. But I guess I touched on two things. Number one, I was curious to hear how expensive a DMR trunking, like a single site for trunking, would get, because I think that would be a great learning tool and experience. I have a feeling it'd be pretty expensive. But maybe not quite P25 expensive, but maybe. And then the other thing I touched on was how I never understood in a DMR code plug why contacts contain more than just contacts, but also like sites. And it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, you know, when I look at my contacts on my radio to see if, like, I have you in the code plug. It's really cumbersome to try to find your call sign, your name in there, because there's a lot of other stuff. And so I kind of compared the contact list to like a junk drawer of information that I just, you know, it seems disorganized to me that you would have actual contacts and then also sites under contacts. It just seems like they should have created another category. And I was hoping somewhere along the line someone could elaborate on why that would be the way it is. But hopefully, I don't know, hopefully I got in for that. K-E-A-W-U-O.
Yeah, I heard you loud and clear that time. I don't know what happened. As far as the DMR code plug, I'd have to see what we're talking about. Under the contacts there being sites, I would have to see what part you're clicking. The sites, if you're referring to sites, that is your. Those are going to be your Capacity Plus sites. And
gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess one of these days I'll have to, buy a dinner or something, and you can walk me through a DMR code plug. And just make sure I fully understand it. I had someone do that a while back with P25 for me. You know, it's just kind of one of those one-and-done things. You know, just give me the basics, and that really helped me with P25 to understand what all was going on back there. And I've yet to have that with DMR. I'd probably fight my way through it, but I've been so preoccupied with time lately, or, you know, at lack of time being preoccupied, that it's been hard for me to spend the time I need to in a DMR code plug. But yeah, I don't know. So in full disclosure, I have a DMR code plug that someone else has made for me. And in the contacts, there are, it's more than just contacts, you know. So maybe it doesn't need to be that way, and you know, things are just a little weird in my code plug, or maybe I'm not vocalizing it properly and I need to open it up again and take a look in there. But yeah, I don't know. There's a few little weird things in the code plugs that if I could sit down with someone and, you know, ask the question, I think that would really help.
If you'd like to email me your code plug, I would be happy to look at it when I have the chance. I tend to do that. You know, people have questions about code plugs. Email it. I'll take a look at it. You know, it always helps to have a second set of, if I do the same thing, sometimes they'll say, hey, man, you check out my code plug, just make sure everything looks okay. If you want to email it.
Yeah, I really would like to get with, like, someone like you or Wally. And, you know, it's that whole, you can give a man a fish, you know, and he'll eat for a day. or you can teach a man to fish, and he can eat for a lifetime. You know, I'm at that point where you know, it's time to learn how to fish. And I don't think I need like a big, you know, long, you know, duration. I just need the general overview of, you know, this is why, you know, this happens, this is why we do this. And, you know, I think we could probably get through it in a half hour if we, like, just focused on it, you know. I don't know. And get one of you two out. I kind of get the impression you're not much of a drinker, and I don't think I've drank in a couple months. But either one of you, if you guys wanted to go out for a beer or a bite, you know, I would be thrilled to borrow your mind for a moment.
I enjoy a drink here and there. not too common. Not as much as I was in Germany. Kind of had my fill in Germany, and I was like, okay, I'm all good now. I'd be happy to sit down sometime, take a look at it, even if it was at one of those meetings for the Macomb County stuff. I can't remember the abbreviation, I apologize. But even if it was some, you know, meeting of some kind, and, you know, I'd be happy to sit down and show you.
Gotcha. Well, that would be awesome. We actually kind of, I think that's something that we want someone to do one of these days, is actually come to the meeting. And I think Wally, you know, might volunteer to do it. But I don't know when or if that will ever come to fruition. But it would be nice to have someone just kind of walk through a DMR code plug just for morons like me that I suppose haven't taken the time to learn it themselves. And I kind of don't like being that guy. You know, I hate asking for help too. I don't like being that guy that you know, needs someone to show me something, you know. But I don't think I really am, as much as, like, I just don't have the time, you know. Like, I think I could figure it out, and, you know, there's plenty of resources out there. But I've been awfully busy, and so, yeah, I don't know. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
If it makes you feel any better, this is my fear of breaking something. Tends to be a little more powerful than my dislike for asking questions. So before I break something, I'll usually go to someone and say, hey, I don't want to break this. Can you show me how to do this?
Yeah, that's the awesome perk of the MI5 network, is having to ask for help across a whole statewide network. It's awesome. So, but you know, it's fine. I'm humble enough to ask for help when I think I need it, or when I think I'd benefit from it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would just help me out a little bit. But what else was I gonna say? I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of like one of the last little hurdles I need to do is to get into the DMR code plug. And, oh, that's what I was going to say. You know, it's like with the video working right now, you know, if I had a working DMR radio that I could program that I didn't have to worry about messing it up, like you said, you know, then, you know, I almost got that. A buddy of mine gave me a bunch of, I think I told you about it, a bunch of parts, radios that we were trying to assemble to make good ones. And I was excited because once I got that together, then I would have a clean slate to play with, and I could build a DMR code plug in it, and I wouldn't be messing with this one and breaking things. And so that's what I planned to do, but we weren't able to get any of the parts radios to give their one working radio. So so that dream kind of died at that point. But one of these days, I'm going to get a DMR mobile for the car, and then maybe I'll be able to make that my playground, and I can do it that way. But so if you ever come across a DMR mobile radio, let me know. KEAWUO.
I may very well be able to come across one. I happen to have kind of a stock of my own.
All right. Yeah, that would be sweet. No pressure, no worries. You know, I've been limping along for probably, I don't know, close to a year now on DMR. I got my first DMR just before the Dream Cruise last year, because we needed it for the event we were working with ARPSC. So I've had it for that long, but then, you know, I created a website and I got phone provisioning working on HOIP, and I made a bunch of Excel add-ins and a bunch of net control logs that push from Excel to the website, and I've just kind of had the nose to the, you know, the ground or whatever the phrase would be, have kind of, you know, not mess with the DMR stuff just because I've been preoccupied everywhere else. And so, like I said, that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, one of these days I would love to break that, you know, bad habit and get in there and figure it out. But yeah, very good. We got to get you signed up for ARPSC.
See what it's all about. You know, I try to keep myself relatively busy, so sometimes it can be a little difficult for me.
Yeah, for sure. And there's never really any pressure. It's a volunteer organization, so we kind of like to hear from you like every couple months if we can, you know. But if you're not able to be, you know, active for a month or two, I think typically that's fine, especially if you kind of let us know or, you know. But I don't know. I think for the most part, you know, I could look. We have several members that haven't checked into a net or attended a meeting in probably a month or two, you know. So if that's, you know, reasonable for you, I think that's, you know, reasonable for us. But we don't actually have a lot of events yet. We're still kind of growing and building our footprint here, and so it's not like we're, you know, in high demand and always meeting people. You know, I think that will come in time, but right now, right now is probably a pretty good time to join and not feel pressured to be, you know, active. So that's my two cents anyway. There's no pressure. You don't feel like you have to do that. But yeah, it's a cool group. A lot of good people. I learn a lot, you know. Like I always say, it's like a free education. So, back to you, KEAWUO.
I got to check it out briefly when I was when you mentioned it the other night. but I'll look into it some more. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like reasonable timing to me. I'm just just trying to figure stuff out. I've only been back in the United States for about a year and a half maybe, so there's still kind of slow adjusting going on. I'd love to come check it out sometime. Okay, YouTube BMY.
Well, very good. I didn't realize you were kind of that fresh out of the military, out of Germany. Do you miss Germany? Is there, like, any foods that, like, I used to live in Colorado, and I had an awesome Thai food restaurant that I loved, and then I moved back to Michigan, and it took me probably 2 years to find an equivalent, and it's maybe not quite a perfect equivalent, but anything you miss about being overseas, or, you know, any foods or locations or anything like that, just out of curiosity?
But that was really good. I missed, you know, I missed a lot of the hobbies that I'm into. I can't exactly exercise in Germany. That was kind of rough. Being away from family was rough too, but I missed the scenery. I missed shopping. Grocery shopping was great.
Gotcha. Well, interesting. You were getting a little spotty there in between a couple of those transmissions or what have you statements, I suppose. But shopping was something that you miss about Germany and about being overseas. That's not something I would have thought you would say, but it sounds interesting. I wouldn't have had that on my bingo card for today, that's for sure. But then you mentioned the pizza. That sounded interesting. You kind of broke up when you said what type of pizza it was, but it sounded like it was not a conventional style pizza. And, I suppose I kind of know. I don't know. I miss my dad's pizza. You know, my old man, he passed away, but some of the stuff he would make was amazing. And, I don't know. It's a shame, you know, when you have all those meals and all of that that you get accustomed to, and then it goes away. That's no fun. And then you said you didn't have the hobbies over there. Or maybe you were saying you missed the shopping that you were able to do here. I might have misunderstood. It was a little bit spotty. So maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and send it again. I think I might have walked into a bad spot.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. That's interesting. I've basically only been out of the country one time, and, being here in Michigan, that was I guess I've been out of the country a couple times, but I've only been to one other country, and you could probably guess which one that is. When we were 17, you know, you go over to Canada to drink. And that's what I did. And then I've gone over to Canada to dive in the St. Lawrence River since then, probably 3 years ago, might have been 4 years ago. But that was a lot of fun. But as far as, out of the country travel, that's the extent of it. It's basically the from home in another country I was right across the river from New York City, or New York, you know, Buffalo, I guess. So I haven't been far. And then when it comes to, like, traveling abroad, you know, there was that show, An Idiot Abroad, and that would be me. You know, I would be, everything would be new to me. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. All the food would scare the daylights out of me. I think traveling with me would be fun. You like laughing at someone, not with someone, but at someone. I would just be way out of my element, but it would be cool. You know, that would be fun. I think seeing some of what you saw would be awesome, and getting out of the country and seeing the another country like Germany would be awesome, you know, and to go to a grocery store there sounds like it would be quite the eye-opening experience. And it might be a little bit of a bummer to walk into a local Kroger here and have I suppose the limited supply that we have. So that's interesting. And I'm sure anyone listening that's traveled abroad, he knows what you're talking about, but to me, it sounds silly, like you said.
I think it's...
Well, that's cool. That is neat. Gives me a little glimpse into, the life of a soldier abroad and what you guys have to go through. That'd be pretty neat. Did you live on base, or it sounds like you were off of base, that you didn't live on potentially a military institution while you were there, that you had your own living situation, quarters or what have you. Is that correct?
Well, for a little while I lived in the barracks, and eventually I was able to move into an apartment. It was still on base, but they had apartment complexes and then barracks, and I was able to move into an apartment. So, I was in the barracks for a little bit, and then I moved into an apartment. Still on base, but, things were done.
K-E-A-W-U-L. Well, interesting. Yeah, that would be really neat. I've got limited experience on military bases, but I do know that, they have, at least here in the United States, there's the duty-free areas, and a lot of them have, stores that you can go to get things tax-free and whatnot. And I do believe, like, Fort Carson in Colorado, when I was there, they had grocery stores and stuff like that. Were the grocery stores that you would go to, were they on the base or were they not? I probably don't want to go, we could probably talk about this, your deployment forever on the radio, and maybe we should wrap it up and let some other people get in here soon. But we'll ask that one, and then we'll take it from there. But I probably should get a little bit more work done and hand over the repeater to some other people if they want it.
Okay, YouTube. We've been it's easy to lose track of time. So the bases, answer that. The bases were actually very small, and they were broken up into numerous bases. So it wasn't like Fort Carson. I've been to Fort Carson before. It was definitely not like Fort Carson. It was, the bases were, you could very easily run the entire perimeter of most of these bases, and they would be broken up into, they were broken up into different bases throughout the Wiesbaden area. So it was very different. You had a lot of driving to do.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, Fort Carson is like a mini city, it's not even really that mini, but we did some interesting things there that we'll probably touch base on some other time, but all right, well, it's been awesome. I appreciate the QSO and all the information I dragged out of you, and it was great talking to you, and look forward to continuing this another time. For now, this is KEA-WUL, and I'll probably be clear on your final.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I appreciate you talking to me. Probably have to hop on, P-25 sometime soon. KE-2, BNY.
73s, KEA-WUL.
WFFM and 8XP.
Hello, radio? All right, I see you.
All right, Space Joe is online and working. We are up and running until Sunday afternoon.
All right, hello, Dayton. Thank you, Dayton. Good luck, Dayton. W8FSM.
This is in 6WY, November 6, Whiskey Yankee. This is in 6WY, November 6, Whiskey Yankee, and 6WY on statewide one.
And XP gave it a severe. Got her all set up and working, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty simple. Now I'm trying to get a couple HTs that I bought for my dad and my brother to work, and the software doesn't like the, there's some mismatch or something. It's probably a firmware between the radio I had and the newer radios that they have. I'm trying to figure it out. Probably going to give up and play with it tomorrow because I got all day tomorrow and nothing else to do.
Well, you can't get the software to read the radio or what, or it won't take the code plug.
It won't take the plug that I'm using for mine. It's Anytone 878, and I try to send it to theirs, and it says it's a frequency mismatch or frequencies out of range or something like that. So if I read from their radio and then try and build from scratch, it's taking it that way for the most part. It lets me at least write to the radio, but it's not... I've got to basically try and copy all the screens over from my code plug to theirs.
You could always go grab a code plug from the Macomb guys on their website, throw it in there and see if it works.
That's a good place to start. I didn't know that they had that published there. I'll go take a look.
That and the other thing... You check the firmware on yours and theirs, and maybe you got to update the firmware on yours, and once you do it, maybe then you can drop the plug-in in theirs.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Give me a couple places to start. What's the, do you know the Macomb's website?
No, but I'm sure there's somebody in here listening to this.
I keep poking around. I only got about an hour and a half, 2 hours of sleep last night, so I think we drove down and got everything set up. We got back from dinner, and I was poking at this, but I think I'm going to give up until early tomorrow and start over.
Yeah. I know there's somebody in there listening to know the website, but, you know.
I'll see what I can find. I'm going to, I think maybe I've stumbled it across here. See what I can find. If not, I'll shoot a message out to the group in the morning, maybe on Slack or here, and see if anybody on the hand. But, yeah, the repeater set up pretty quick and easy. Just we had experience last year, so it went up really quick. Got an X50 at about probably, how high is that antenna? Only about 25 feet up, but should cover the campground.
Yeah, I didn't know what you had. I guess I should have offered them, you know, one of them bowls, master drive over, and you put it up. I don't know what you had or any of that, so as long as it works, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'll probably test it out tomorrow and walk as far as I can on the campground. I'm sure it's going to be fine. We've got one of those aluminum masts. I got it strapped to a stake in the ground in the middle of our lot here. And wanted to put a flag on the top, but I think it was going to be too much wind load. It's pretty windy this afternoon.
Yeah, it might be pushing your luck. I'll just select the address.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got it. I'll take a look. So,
You're not able to come down. You're not coming down at all, are you?
Yeah, I think putting the flag on top would have been definitely over top. So. Flag definitely creates a pretty good wind load. Anyways. Yeah. What do you do?
See, this was, I found this file that you sent me. Well, no, this one is, it says Michigan. Is that what I'm looking for?
Northern Michigan? I don't think so.
Well, it says Chirp, Northern Michigan from 2023. So I don't think that's what I'm looking for.
No, I just sent you that, their website. All right, well, good luck. Hope you get it figured out there. Catch you later. Glad you got it set up. 8XP came us there.
All right. Thanks for letting us take it down again. It yeah, it went up pretty easy, and a little tiny satellite link, pretty easy too. Didn't even really have to do anything; just started working. So, all right, 7-3. Have a good evening, and 8XP.
Do you have it inside? Is the fan too loud in that thing, or what?
No, it's not interrupting anything. It's inside. It's right inside the door, but it's not loud at all.
Okay, good. All right. Give me the number.
And next week.